One of the newest members, in fact, as of today, is going to speak for us, and that is Francois Vesloo. Francois, come on up and be with us. Let's welcome him. Francois is the leader of Operation Mobilization Africa. You have met him. He spoke here a couple of years ago and has been here with us the last couple of weeks. He leaves tomorrow with Karen to go to Panama and to meetings there with the rest of OM, and then back to Africa about a week later from that. But Francois, thank you for being. This is your home. And I give you, as one of our newest members, your cross for you and Karen. So this one's for you. And thank you, and we look forward for you to open the word to us this morning. God bless you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much, Bill. Good morning, saints.
Good morning.
Wednesday, I was sitting working in one of the rooms there across the street, and a lady came in. And she said to me, "We need this room now. We have a meeting here." I said, "Sorry, I'll pack up." And then she paused and she says, "Is your name Francois?" I said, "Yeah." She said, "You know, I pray for you every week." I was so humbled by that. I have three huge thank yous. I'm sorry. To you as a church today, in Africa, we are mere dwarfs standing on the shoulders of giants. Thank you. Why do I struggle so today? Thank you for being giants, that we can stand and proclaim this most beautiful name of Jesus to the ends of the earth. Second thank you is thank you for your support. 16 of our leaders in Africa every month, you are helping them to do their work and to excel in what they are doing. Last Sunday, Karen and I sat here and she leaned over to me and she said, "You know, I feel more welcome here than I feel in my own church in South Africa." I said, "Wow, that is special." So just from our side, a huge, huge, huge thank you. You are an immense blessing to us. Last week, Pastor Bill was talking with us from Ephesians chapter 6. And I just want to pick up from one of the verses there in chapter 4, verse 6. He says, "Because you are his sons, God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, the Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father." I want to talk to you today a little bit about walking in the Spirit. If God has given us His Spirit, what does it mean to walk in His Spirit? And for us to understand it maybe a touch better, can we turn to John chapter 14 and verse 15, please? John chapter 14 and verse 15. If you don't have a Bible, sit next to a Christian. John 14, verse 15. "If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you." And this amazing verse, verse 18, "I will not leave you as orphans." We work with a lot of orphans in Africa. We have 20 schools for orphans in Africa. Verse 18, "I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live." Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we sang about you this morning. There is just no one else like you, Lord. We just feel like falling down on our knees and worshiping you. Thank you that you've not left us as orphans, but you gave us your Holy Spirit to live within us. And we pray, will you, through your word, through your Holy Spirit, come and teach us your ways today, please? Will you come and do a transformation work in our hearts? Lord, this passage says, if we love you, we must obey your commandments. That's why we are here this morning, to obey you. Show us the way, please, Lord. Amen. Who is the Holy Spirit? Very simple. He is the third person of the Trinity. And what does he do in our lives? He comforts us. The Greek word is so beautiful. He comes and he puts his arm around us when we are struggling, when we have challenges, when we have difficulties, etc. He helps us in our weakness. I love so much what Romans says. He says, we do not even know how to pray. He helps us in our weakness. He helps us even to stand before the Father and express what is deep down in our hearts. He glorifies, and I'll come back to that. He intercedes for you with words you cannot be uttered. He teaches us the truth. He works miracles. I wish I had a week to tell you what God is doing in Africa. It is just beyond description. He brings in the harvest. He lives in us. He leads us. He convicts us of sin. How does he do it? He does it in three ways. The first one is, he reveals the Father to us. And I love this about the Holy Spirit. You know, when our children were small, and I heard Bill said exactly the same thing, when you talk to them and you don't pay attention, they pull your face right back so that you can look them straight into the eyes. That's what the Holy Spirit does. It says it so beautiful in Romans 12. He says, now let us run the race with endurance, fixing our eyes on Jesus. That is what the Holy Spirit is doing. He's constantly turning our face back. Why? Because we are so distracted by the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. These things constantly move our face away, and he says, I want you to see the Father. I want you to follow the Father. I want you to worship Jesus. The second thing that he does within our lives, he helps us to look like Jesus. The big word that they are using in theology is sanctification. He wants us to be ready for the wedding of the Lamb. Becky, can you put the screen at the back on for me, please? He wants us to be pure. He wants us to be holy. And then the third one, what he does is he works through us. Those are the three things that the Holy Spirit is doing in our lives. When Jesus was baptized, heavens opened and the Spirit of the Lord came down on a dove. What was his words? He says, this is my beloved Son. With him I am well pleased. Isn't that beautiful? That is the purpose of the Spirit, is to honor our Father, to bring him glory, to bring fame to his name. I have asked Richard if he would come and help me today. I just want to show you an illustration what we are talking about. Thank you, Richard. Appreciate you. If I can for a moment put the Trinity next to each other, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and I ask you the question, where does God the Father lives? Say with me the Our Father. Our Father, who art in heaven. God lives in heaven. And Jesus is seated at his right hand. And the Holy Spirit, we've just read it, he lives within us. So beautiful this morning when Bill was telling this story, I was reminded of one of our teachers. She is the wife of the leader of the work in Lake Tanganyika. Her name is Laureen. And we have a school there, and we only have orphans in this school. So the morning, three of the orphans were walking to school, and they had the Bible under their arm, and they came across the imam on the road to school. And the imam stopped them, and he said to him, "Do you believe this book? Do you believe this book?" And he said to him, "Yeah." He says, "Now, how do you understand it? There is God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit. There are three. That doesn't make sense," he says to them. They just kept quiet, say, "Yeah, yeah, yeah, yeah," and they went to school. And what happens when you go to school with those questions? You ask the teacher, "Teacher, how does this work?" The teacher didn't know how does this work. She said, "Jesus, just give me an answer for these kids, please. They are 5 years old. How am I going to explain this to him?" And God gave her the most amazing answer. She said to them, "You know, tonight when I go home and I walk into the house, my children shout, 'Mommy!' And then a few minutes later, my husband will come home and he will say to me, 'Darling!' And then my sister will come and visit us, and she will say to me, they say in Africa, 'Sissy,' the abbreviation for sister." She said to the kids, "It is the same Laureen, but she has three distinct different roles." The next morning, the imam met them on the road again. They stopped him and says, "We can tell you. When you go home today, what does your wife call you? And your children and your auntie. Now you understand." He said, "I never thought about that." Isn't that beautiful? The Holy Spirit is not an influence. He is not a power. And he's not an experience. That was part of the Reformation where Martin Luther put those papers on the wall. And I've asked Richard if he would come and help me today just to illustrate what we are talking about. What does it mean to walk in the Spirit? And I do this with great respect. I've asked Richard if he would be the Holy Spirit today. So I'm going to ask Richard to get on my back. Oh! Do you all agree that I have the Holy Spirit? If you don't agree, come and pick up himself. He's heavy. Would you say that the Holy Spirit is in control of my life? No. The Holy Spirit can say to me, "Francois, I want you to go and pray for Pastor Bill." "Oh, Bill knows how to pray. I don't have time to pray today. I'll do it sometimes later." Or he may ask me to go and give something to somebody. "You know what? I really need that myself. I don't think I can give that to the person." Or, you know the story, he puts so many things in our hearts to do, and we have our own argument. What does it mean then to be filled with the Holy Spirit? Who is now in control of my life? The Holy Spirit. Where he leads, I go. My feet is off the ground. I cannot do my own thing anymore. Thank you so much, Richard. Let's give him a big thank you. Thank you, Richard. Sorry. You get the message. Very simple. We can go home now. That is what it means to walk in the Spirit. There are three different ways in which the Bible expressed the working of the Holy Spirit. The first one He says he is like a wind. Second one is like a stream. Rivers of living water will flow from your innermost being. The Holy Spirit is also compared with a fire. And if you think of these three examples in Scripture, they all mean motion, movement. The Spirit of God is on the move. The most beautiful illustration here where you live is the sails of a sailing boat. God wants us to hoist the sails of our lives to catch the wind of His Spirit. We do not know where it's coming from. We do not know where it is going. But just to be in step with the Spirit of God. The key question today is not so much, do you have the Holy Spirit? It's impossible to call Jesus Lord without the working of the Holy Spirit in our lives. It is He that does regeneration, rebirth in our lives. The key question today is, does the Holy Spirit have you? In other words, who is in control of your life? If the Holy Spirit is on your back, it means you are walking in the flesh. If we changed around and I was on Richard's back, then it means we are walking in the Spirit, a complete different situation. When I'm in control, all that you see is Francois. Terrible. When we change around, all that you see is Jesus. All that you see is the Holy Spirit. The glory, everything goes to the Father in that situation. In Ephesians 5, verse 18, there's that beautiful verse where it says, do not get drunk with wine, which leads to debauchery, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. And it's an interesting parallel that is being mentioned here. There are three characteristics of a drunk person that you also find with a Spirit-filled person. The first one is, a drunk person speaks easily. His tongue is loose. A person filled with the Holy Spirit has a story to tell to the nations, has something to declare about this great God. Second one, a drunk person is afraid of absolutely nobody. He can go and walk up to anybody and start a conversation. A person filled with the Holy Spirit does not live with fear, and Bill explained it so beautifully last week. And in the third place, a drunk person, if I would stop him today and say, would you like to come with me to South Africa? He will say, certainly, and get into the car and think we can drive there. A person filled with the Holy Spirit is not grounded. They move with God. They move with the Spirit of God. They don't live a life full of excuses. Andrew Murray, one of our great spiritual leaders in South Africa, he wrote 250 books. He lived in the previous century. He was walking down the street one day and he stopped and he grabbed his heart and people thought he had a heart attack. And he said, no. I just ask to God, if you will please refill me with the Holy Spirit. If I have too much to drink this morning, will I still be drunk tonight? Those that know shake their heads and says, no, I will need to drink again. For me to live under the influence of the Holy Spirit, I need to be filled repeatedly. I need to ask God, Lord, fill me please. Why? Because we are constantly, he used the beautiful phrase, he says, because I am leaking. There are four things you and I can do to the Holy Spirit. The first thing you and I can do to the Holy Spirit is what Ananias and Sapphira did to the Holy Spirit. They lied to the Holy Spirit. Let me try and explain this principle. When God created the earth, the heavens, everything, He said, it is good, it is good, it is very good. He never transferred ownership of His creation to us. only stewardship. And this is where Ananias and Sapphira got it wrong. They thought the property that they had belonged to them. David said it so beautifully when they were building the temple and the people were giving towards the building of it, and they had enough to build God a magnificent temple. And he wrote a song in Chronicles, and he said, "Lord, we even take out of your hand to give to you." He understood stewardship. How much of what you have here can you take with you? Zero, nothing. And we still call it ownership. The moment we do that, we close our hands and we say, "It is mine." You live in a fool's paradise, saint. It has never been yours, and it will never be yours either. It belongs to God. Live with your hands open. He has entrusted it to you for a period of time. When he needs it, may he find it open to use it as he pleases. How does he say you gather treasures in heaven? It is so 100%, 180% contrary to what we are living. Our whole lives, the emphasis is on gathering, bringing in. And God's emphasis is treasures in heaven belongs to giving away. That is how you get these treasures. Ananias and Sapphira confuse these two issues of ownership. They close their hands and therefore they lie to the Holy Spirit. They didn't understand what stewardship meant. The second way in which we can push the Holy Spirit away is resist the Holy Spirit. You remember when Richard was up here, the Holy Spirit will lay on my heart to go and pray for Bill. And I said, "No, I don't have time. I don't feel like it." You know all 50 reasons exactly as good as I know all of those reasons as well. We resist the Holy Spirit. What happens when we resist the Holy Spirit? He just gently drop us and say, "You are in charge. You can walk in the flesh. I'll get on your back." The third thing that we can do to the Holy Spirit is we can grieve him. What does somebody look like that is grieving? Sad. When I'm on the back of the Holy Spirit, his first name is Holy Spirit. God wants us to be holy as he is holy. Just to use Richard and my example again, I'm on the back of the Holy Spirit and I entertain a lustful thought. What does the Holy Spirit do? He immediately drops me. He says, "I cannot identify with that because I am holy and I want you to be holy as the Father is holy. I will not leave you." Jesus said, "I will not forsake you. I will stay with you forever. But now you walk in the flesh." And the fourth thing that we can do to the Holy Spirit, we can put out the Spirit's fire. And how often I have done that. I would talk to somebody and tell a story, and then I would exaggerate it, or I would add a lie to it, for example. And then when I go home, the Holy Spirit would come and say to me, "But Francois, you lied when you said that." And I ignore him. A little bit later, he would come back again and say, "Francois, when you said that, you lied." And I ignore him again. "Francois, when you said that, you lied." I hardened my heart, so I put out the fire of the Holy Spirit in my heart. Those are the four things that we can do to the Holy Spirit. I want to ask you today if you would not consider to walk in the Spirit and not to walk in the flesh. The flesh wages war every day against the Spirit. What is of the flesh brings forth death, and what is of the Spirit brings forth life. Part of walking in the Spirit may also be to be tempted or be tested. And this is my last point. Let me explain that to you. In Matthew chapter 4, verse 1, amazing verse, it says, "Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the desert to be tempted by Satan. Led by the Spirit to be tempted by Satan. We don't often bring these two thoughts together. Led by the Spirit to be tempted by Satan. If we are walking in the Spirit, we will face many tests, but we will never be tempted above our strength. We've heard about all the pain, all the chaos, all the drama in Syria. Last year, one of our workers went to Syria to go and work there. He was there for 3 months, and then there was a knock at the door. When he opened the door, they shot him. Three months later, one of our other workers says, I will take his place. So he went back to exactly the same house and he moved in. He was there 1 month. And there was a knock on the door again and they took a black bag and they pulled it over his head, tied him up, threw him in the boot of the car and they drove with him. He said it was for about 2 hours that they drove with him. And then finally they took him out and they climbed with him staircase after staircase after staircase. And then finally took off the hood, cut loose. And the man said to him, I am so sorry for what we are doing to you right now. I am the man, he said, who pulled the trigger. I killed your colleague. But for the last month, 3 months, we had blood on our hands. And we have no idea how to get rid of this. Can you please help us? 900 Muslims were sitting in that room. All 900 stood up and says, Lord, forgive us. We will follow you. Why do I tell you this story? There is one side that we all desire, and there are two sides of the same coin. Yes, God, please fill us with your Holy Spirit. We love that side. But you don't get it without the commissioning side. Lord, I want them to live out this life to the fullest way with the gifts that you have given us. And can I just say in brackets, the gifts God has given you is not your gifts. The gifts God has given you, the spiritual gifts, is for the body, is for us as a church. My finger doesn't wake up in the morning and says, I would choose today whether I like to move or not for the rest of the body. It's ridiculous. The whole body is involved in the movement of that one finger. It's not the finger's gift, it is the body's gift. We have many snowbirds in our midst. They are very gifted in flying, but I believe you can do much more than just flying, snowbirds. God has given you much more than that. Let's live out those gifts, whether it's here or I don't know where they are all coming from. We have swallows, we don't have snowbirds or snow geese. But wherever you are, those gifts that God has given you, let them flow out. Let them touch others. The body is poor when we as believers are not allowing the Spirit of God to flow in and through our lives, when we do not hoist our sails to be blown by the wind of the Spirit to where and what God is doing. A very simple request with you today. Don't you want to join with me? I want to ask you two things. Listen carefully, please, and then I'm going to pray for you. If you want to say to God today, and that is what he said, if you then who are evil know to give good gifts unto your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those that ask? I remember when I met Jesus, I started telling everybody about it, but my life felt completely powerless. Nobody came to know the Lord. And then I read this verse in Luke 11:13. And then I just simply went to my bedside and I says, Father, will you please fill me with the Holy Spirit? It was transformational in my own life. In other words, I was no longer having the Holy Spirit on my back, walking in the flesh, I said, Lord, there is no power in my life. I want to walk in the Spirit, not in the flesh anymore. Simple prayer. Father, will you please come and fill me with your Holy Spirit? But then we're going to add an and to that session, or to that sentence, is, and God, will you then send me wherever you need me? I want to be part of your body. I want to be part of what you are doing, whether it's here or in the nations. It's not just a matter of being filled. It's also a matter of allowing that filling to flow through dry and thirsty land. You know, so many of us just desire sunshine on our lives every day. If you only have sunshine every day, come to Africa, you turn into a desert. You need rain. You need storms. You need wind. And snowbirds, you need snow to be able to have a fruitful life. All of the seasons. Sorry, I'm not picking on snowbirds. Forgive me. I'm just using it as illustration. Please, we love you. You are welcome. You are amazing. You are awesome. But you need all these seasons in your lives to be able to bear the fruit God has created you to bear. If you want to say this morning and pray with me that simple prayer, Father, will you fill me with the Holy Spirit so that I can go and bear much fruit, so that you can be honored. Will you just stand with me and then we pray together? Before I came here this morning, I read from Matthew and said, unless you become like little children, and I wonder, like little children, like receiving a gift, if you don't just want to hold out your hands, just like a child receiving a gift. And will you pray after me, please? Lord Jesus, thank you for your Holy Spirit. Heavenly Father, will you fill me this morning, please, with your Holy Spirit? I do not want to walk in the flesh anymore. I choose, Lord, to walk in the Spirit. Lord, flow in and through my life, so that you may receive much honor and much praise. We love you, Lord. Amen. Just remain standing, please. If you were not able to pray that, maybe you've never met Jesus. Maybe you don't know him. This passage this morning said, if we don't know him, it doesn't make sense. Will you not afterwards come and pray with some of our people here, Sal and Joe and others? If you have prayed this prayer and you are stuck with one of these four, that you've lied to the Holy Spirit, or you are resisting him, or you are quenching him, or you're putting out his fire, please come and pray. Don't leave here today walking in the flesh. Let's go and fly in the wind of the Spirit. God bless you.